Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 52. In this final chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we have an historical appendix showing how Jeremiah's prophecies were fulfilled exactly as predicted. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, till he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the 4th month, on the 9th day of the month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled and went out of the city at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were near the city all around. And they went by way of the plain, or Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath, and he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he killed all the princes of Judah in Riblah. He also put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in bronze fetters, took him to Babylon, and put him in prison till the day of his death. Let's begin our study of this last chapter of Jeremiah with some background notes. At the end of Jeremiah chapter 51, we had the conclusion of the last main section of Jeremiah, which began in chapter 46, concerning judgments on the foreign nations surrounding Israel. In chapters 50 and 51, we had Jeremiah's long prophecy of judgment against Babylon. We said that some of this prophecy awaits to be fulfilled with the destruction of end-time Babylon, as also predicted in Revelation chapters 17 and 18. At the end of Jeremiah chapter 51, we saw that Jeremiah had a man named Seraiah give an object lesson to the Jewish captives who were already in Babylon. Seraiah tied a stone to a scroll containing Jeremiah's prophecy against Babylon and threw it into the Euphrates River, dramatizing the future destruction of Babylon. It reminds us of what we read in Revelation chapter 18 concerning the future fall of Babylon. I'm reading Revelation chapter 18, verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore." Revelation chapter 18, verse 21. Now here in Jeremiah chapter 52, we have what we could call an historical appendix or epilogue to the book. It is almost identical to what is contained in parts of 2 Kings chapters 24 and 25. It was added to the end of Jeremiah to show that his prophecies concerning the fall of Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah all took place exactly as predicted. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for Jeremiah chapter 52. Doctrinal point number one, the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah was fulfilled exactly as predicted. The word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah was fulfilled exactly as predicted. Because of the sins of Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah, culminating in the evil ways of kings Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, verses 1 through 3, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army to besiege Jerusalem for a good year and a half until no food was left in the city, verses 4 through 6. When the wall was breached, King Zedekiah and his small military force tried to escape to the Arabah, verse 7, but they were captured and brought to Nebuchadnezzar and executed, verses 8 and 9. Zedekiah himself was blinded and taken to Babylon after he was forced to watch the execution of his own sons, verses 10 and 11. Now let's read about Nebuchadnezzar's destruction of the temple in verses 12 through 16. Now in the fifth month, on the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard who served the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem. That is, all the houses of the great he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive some of the poor people, the rest of the people who remained in the city, the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the craftsmen. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. The fact that 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8 says the seventh day of the fifth month of the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, whereas verse 12 here says the 10th day of the fifth month of the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, is not a contradiction in the Bible. Evidently, Nebuzaradan came into Jerusalem on the seventh day and put the torch to the temple on the 10th day. Jeremiah was among the poor people who were left in the land in verse 16. The rest of the people were taken as captives to Babylon. Verses 17 through 23 describe the looting of the temple before it was burned. Let's read these verses. Jeremiah chapter 52, beginning now with verse 17. The bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord, and the carts and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried all their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the bowls, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered. The basins, the fire pans, the bowls, the pots, the lampstands, the spoons, and the cups, whatever was solid gold, and whatever was solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, the 12 bronze bulls which were under it, and the carts which King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these articles was beyond measure. Now concerning the pillars, the height of one pillar was 18 cubits, a measuring line of 12 cubits could measure its circumference, and its thickness was 4 fingers. It was hollow. A capital of bronze was on it, and the height of one capital was 5 cubits, with a network of pomegranates all around the capital, all of bronze. The second pillar with pomegranates was the same. There were 96 pomegranates on the sides. All the pomegranates all around on the network were 100. The Babylonians, of course, wanted all of these items for the gold, the silver, and the bronze. Back in Jeremiah chapter 27, Jeremiah had predicted that these very items would be taken to Babylon. Remember, the false prophet Hananiah said in Jeremiah chapter 28 that the temple treasures would remain in Jerusalem, and those already taken to Babylon would be returned shortly. Jeremiah, of course, was right. He predicted with the true word of the Lord. In verses 24 through 30, we have the account of the captives who were taken to Babylon. Let's read these verses. The captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the 3 doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 7 men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the principal scribe of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. These are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive. In the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. The Seraiah of verse 24 is not the same Seraiah of chapter 51 who did the object lesson in Babylon. And the Zephaniah of verse 24, of course, is not the minor prophet Zephaniah. Now, in harmonizing the numbers of captives given here and elsewhere, keep in mind that there were a number of invasions of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, starting in 605 BC, when Daniel and others were taken into captivity. And also keep in mind the fact that sometimes the count of the captives only included the males. In verses 31 through 34, we have the record of King Jehoiakim's released from prison in Babylon and shown favor by the king of Babylon. Let's read these verses. Now it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king of Babylon, a portion for each day until the day of his death, all the days of his life. The fact that Jehoiakim is released from prison is a note of hope, because it is the first sign of Jeremiah's promise of Israel's restoration. So as to judgment and restoration, the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah was fulfilled exactly as predicted. Doctrine point number two, the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah will be fulfilled exactly as predicted. The word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah will be fulfilled exactly as predicted. We've seen that Jeremiah's prophecies concerning the fall of the kingdom of Judah and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple were fulfilled exactly as predicted, down to the last detail. Furthermore, we've seen that Jeremiah's prediction in chapter 25 of the 70-year captivity and then deliverance was fulfilled exactly as prophesied. Now let me ask you, do you think all of Jeremiah's prophecies about the future will be fulfilled exactly as prophesied? Answer, of course they will. And this includes the new covenant, which involves a return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel and a spiritual restoration to the Lord according to Jeremiah chapters 31 and 32. The word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah will be fulfilled exactly as predicted. Practical application from Jeremiah chapter 52. Take special note of what is belabored in Scripture. Take special note of what is belabored in Scripture. As we come to the end of our studies in the book of Jeremiah, you've got to admit that there was a lot of prophecy in this book concerning the judgment of God. It seems that the subject of the judgment of God against sin is belabored by Jeremiah. Would you agree? And the same is true of most of the other Old Testament prophets. Why? Answer. Because it is an important topic, and God wants us to know that he must judge sin. Not only the sins of Israel and the foreign nations, but our personal sins as well. The good news is that God has provided salvation from his judgment of sin. The Lord Jesus underwent the judgment of God for our sins when he died on the cross as our substitute. Unfortunately, most people ignore God's plan of salvation, because they don't think God is serious about sin. Some don't even believe that God exists. A word to the wise is sufficient. Take special note of what is belabored in Scripture.